If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation, the second chapter, the first seven verses. Before we read, let's go to God in prayer. Our most gracious and kind Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee, we come with thanking hearts, thanking You for Your love and Your mercy towards us. We thank You that You were willing to go to the cross of Calvary to provide such a great salvation that we enjoy today. And Lord, we pray as we bring the message this morning that You would speak through me in a mighty way. And Lord, just forgive us where we fail thee and help us to grow in Your grace and knowledge. And for all those things, we give Thee the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, that thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of the place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You know, when you hear most messages on this chapter, you hear the message that this church maybe wasn't a good church because they left their first love. Everybody preaches about that first love that they should have and they lost. But let's look at some of the things about this church, because this not only was a good church, this was a great church. If you study the messages to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, that you'll find that this church is what you'd want to lay out your church doctrine on. And it and Philadelphia and Smyrna is the only churches that God don't find a whole lot wrong with of the seven churches that He brings out in the book of Revelation. First of all, it says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. This was a working church. God knew what they were doing. He knew about their labor. They were an evangelistic church. They were a patient church. And they were a separated church. You know, first of all churches need to be evangelistic. And many, many people are in a service this morning just like this, that the gospel is not being preached. And there's many other people that they're using this Bible, but they're not using it in a proper way. They're taking it out of context and saying just what they want their people to hear. But this church spoke the Word of God and lived by the Word of God, and they couldn't bear them that was evil. You think of that. They were against evil. And listen, Ephesus was full of evil. It was a idolatrous town, to say the least. The people of Ephesus had their own gods, worshiped their own gods, but this church stood up for the Word of God. And there was not, they hated the things that were happening to the other people. Though they loved the people and wanted to see them saved, but they did not want evil coming into their church and being among their church. Can we say that today, that we do not want evil in our church? Or if the vilest sinner comes in, we want to see him saved, and that's okay. But we do not want him taking part in the service until he knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He may have the greatest voice in the world, but he shouldn't get up and sing until he knows Jesus is his Savior. That's my opinion. You may have a different one. But this church They tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. You know, in that day there was many people that came and said they were apostles. And these people tried these people and found many of them to be liars, that they weren't coming to work in the church and do the church any good, but they were coming in a false name and false nature to stir up things in the church. They were tried. What's the last time that anybody was tried that you remember in a Baptist church? We take usually people's word when they come forward that they're okay. We shouldn't do that. We should talk to them and see where they stand upon the Word of God. You know, I've been to a couple different licensing of preachers and deacons, or ordination services is what I mean to say. And you know, I can remember when my dad was ordained to preach the gospel, and the things he talked about were the men that ordained him. He had to go through 2.5 hours of questioning of the Bible by men of God some many years ago. I was in an ordination, a licensing of a preacher in this association. And you know, the only questions that were asked was about the Southern Baptist Convention. There was not one question asked about what they believed about the Scriptures. Now, to me, that's not a very good way to ordain a guy to preach. And I've seen deacons ordained in a church. They were asked scriptural things and couldn't answer them. And still, they're deacons today. According to my Bible, these people need to know what the Word of God is first and foremost before they take these offices. And these things happen right in our own association. We don't have to go outside of it. Where we see that this church is one that tried people that were false witnesses and stuff. And has borne and has patient for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. How many people come in like a house afire, and then a year later you don't even find them in church? Whose fault is that? Are we not training enough to get people to stay? We need to examine ourselves and say, are we doing what God would have us to do? It also, because thou hast hated the deeds of Nicolaus, which I also hate. Do you hate the deeds that the Jehovah Witnesses are doing, that the false doctrines are doing, Muslims? Do you hate them deeds, the Mormons? They're sending tons, thousands upon thousands of people to the devil's hell because of the doctrines that they have. But do we ask people to even come to Sunday school and church to hear the truth? We need to strive to try to get the truth out to this community. Listen, people, I don't know when Jesus is coming, but I believe he's coming very soon. Everything's set up for the return of God, the return of Jesus Christ. We may not have very much time. If you knew for sure that Jesus was going to come tomorrow, what would you do this afternoon? Is there somebody that you know that you'd like to present the gospel to? Tell them about Jesus? We have got to fill the gap. Because I'll guarantee you one thing. Somewhere in this town, this afternoon, there will be Jehovah Witnesses out knocking on doors. And do you know that Jehovah Witness gets a lot of their membership from Baptist churches? Well, they do. I've had several Jehovah Witnesses come to my door that says they used to be Baptists. Are we failing to show them the way in our Baptist churches today? Are we not educating the people that are new Christians to where they follow other things? We need to ask ourselves that. Now, let's go back to this. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, let's go over to 1 John, the first chapter. And I want to read this. I don't believe that the people here in this church had a sin problem. I think it was something else. But first thing, I want to deal with the sin. In verse 8, 1 John, the first chapter, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. In verse 10, I skipped 9. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So, you see, man simply is going to sin. We're human. God knows we're human, and he knows that we're going to sin. There's not one person in here that lives above sin. And the person that says they live above sin, and there are some churches that believe that you have to live above sin, God says they're a liar, and the truth is not in them. We need to realize that we are still sinners that needs to confess our sins. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's not talking to the lost people. That's not talking to the lost people at all. That's talking to each and every one of us. We have sin in our lives. We need to confess it. And he says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then verse chapter 2, the first two verses. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, ye have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our only, but for the sins of the whole world. What is this advocacy? Let me read what Scofield says about that. Advocacy is the work of Jesus Christ for sinning saints, which he carries on with the Father, whereby, because of his eternal efficiency of his own sacrifice, he restores them to fellowship. When we confess our sins, Jesus Christ hears our confession. And he restores us to the fellowship that we have. That's why when David sinned, and he committed great sins, what we'd like to say is great sins, but a lie is just as big as murder in the sight of God. It's still a sin. But Jesus, on the right hand of the Father, pleading our case, said, they gave their life and accepted me. And he restores us to fellowship. I don't care how great your sin is. Jesus restores us to fellowship. And I thank God that I've got a Savior that's pleading my case, that is on my side. Because as a young man, 8 years old, I gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And believe me, some of you heard my testimony last time I was up here. And know that I didn't live a very good life for many years. But Jesus restored me to his fellowship. And when David sinned, he didn't ask to be saved all over again. He asked for his sins to be forgiven and the joy of his salvation brought back to him. You know, that's the work of God. That the joy of our salvation is brought back to us. When we are out of fellowship with God and are living in sin, and many of us in here has done that in our life, we need to just confess our sins and let Jesus bring us back. Maybe you're not even right where God wants you to be this morning. You know that there's something in your life that you're simply not doing right, and you do it over and over. Ask God to help you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, because he will and he can. Then, if it's not a sin problem that they left their first love, Because you got to understand something about this church. They were a busy church. They were doing things right. Their doctrine was right. When Jesus talking about them, there was only one thing he found against them.
And I believe it's found in
1 John, starting in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie. But if we walk in the light, he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us all sins. I believe with all my heart that this church got so busy that they forgot to fellowship with their Savior. They got so busy with church work that they forgot to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think there's many things that we do. I know a lot of times people will get so busy. We just run today. That we do not take time to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you can get so busy in church work that you leave Jesus out. And we need to strive to make sure everything that we do, that there's time to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ as a church. Because he was talking to a church here. And this also goes for family. You can get so busy in your work and what you're doing at church that you don't take time for your family. Because Jesus, I believe it's this way. God first. We're to love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. God first. Family second. Didn't God give us a family? Church third. You say, now wait a minute. Who did God put on the earth first? He put a family on earth first, didn't he? What did he put them on the earth for? To have fellowship with him. And before sin, they had fellowship with him, didn't they? And so we have got to be careful not to work so hard that we forget to have time to fellowship with God. We have also got to take time for our family. I mean, my wife used to get mad at me. She still does, but 'cause every Saturday, I had a bus ministry, and I went every Saturday to make sure them kids were coming on Sunday. Well, I put that work ahead of my family, and that wasn't right. What wasn't wrong for me to go, but to never miss a Saturday wasn't right. So we need to examine our hearts this morning. Are we where God wants us to be? Are we having fellowship with God like we should be? Or have we let our fellowship with God be time be taken over by other things that we like to do? How many hours a day is your TV on? I bet some of them's on like mine most of the time. Is that as important as having some time laid aside to have fellowship with God? And I believe the church at Revelation, it wasn't a sin problem. Well, it was a sin, but I don't think that was the big problem they had. They just got too busy doing God's work that they forgot to take time to fellowship with him. And fellowship with God is very important to each and every one of us. And this morning as we close, here's an altar if you need to come and pray. And just ask God, bring back the joy of my salvation and help me more to fellowship with thee.